Abdul, you've been watching this for a long time. Any way you think this is going to be a surprise?
Well, the thing about elections is you always put that disclaimer at the end that all my knowledge and predictions are based on today. By the end of this conversation, everything could have changed by then. And right now, it looks like Donald Trump is favored to win heavily here in Indiana, but looks like Mrs. Clinton will score victory at the national level. Just looking at what Donald Trump needs, needs enough of those sort of working class white voters, in portions of the Rust Belt, Michigan, Pennsylvania, to really come out in droves to offset the early voting that the Clintons have done, particularly with Hispanic and Latino voters who are coming out in record numbers. So I know a lot of us will be taking a look at states like North Carolina, states like Florida, states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, a little bit of Wisconsin and Ohio. But the thing is, Mrs. Clinton has always had the easier path to 270 than Donald Trump has. This doesn't say that Donald Trump can't win. I want to say the 538 Nate Silver political statistics blog gave Donald Trump a 1 in 3 chance of winning, which is, better than 1 in 4, better than 1 in 5. But I think while Donald Trump does well here in Indiana, I think Mrs. Clinton, like I said, based on what I know today, this could change by the end of our conversation, will probably be the 45th president of the United States.
And is it going to be a domino effect if one state goes for Trump that people thought might not? Is that some kind of key or indicator, or are these all independent actions happening independently of themselves?
I think they're all independent actions. I really do. Because one of the things that the networks have been very careful to do is be mindful of how you call results, particularly when other places have not closed up shop yet. Now, if, say, Donald Trump wins in Florida or North Carolina, I think we're in for a much longer haul than we would be then if he was not. But I think just about every state is independent. Like I said, just to give you an idea, I've been monitoring my social media all morning long, asking friends of mine, across Indiana to sort of text me what's going on, what does it look like. Gas in Indiana, rural community up there near Delaware, in Delaware County, they had a line outside the high school, which has never happened before. And that's why, things like that, those are your Trump people, and those are the type of folks that will get Donald Trump elected president if enough of them come out.
Abdul, the national pundits have been talking about how Bi just blew the race in Indiana. Do you see it that way? Has Bi lost?
From everything that I've been seeing for the past few days, I would not be surprised if Todd Young is Indiana's next U.S. Senator. The problem with Evan Bi is, had a long, glorious history. It kind of reminded me of the guy who was an okay athlete in high school, but it's only because he didn't really have a whole lot of tough competition. The last person Evan Bi ran against in 2004 was Marvin Scott. This is kind of like being salutatorian in summer school. Not even valedictorian, but salutatorian.
All right, and what about Tennessee, Trey, and Shelley?
That one is, like I said, if I could call that one, we'd be having this conversation on my island that I just bought in the South Pacific, because I'm going to have won the Powerball 8 million times.
Uh-huh.
That one is a pure, in my opinion, a pure toss-up. Trey Hollingsworth has been hit with some news lately that has been all that flattering. But then again, it is a district that was drawn for Republicans. And I think Trey's good fortunes will be Donald Trump's good fortunes. If the Trump people really come out and they stick around, they can probably pull Trey across the finish line.
Well, that's an interesting point, because you figure if the numbers come out to back it, that's right, the way the 9th district was drawn for those in charge at the time, and that was the Republican Party. Abdul Hakeem Shabazz is our guest this morning. He will also be joining us tonight to help us sort through all the information. 7 o'clock is our political recap show live here on WGCL. And when we look at everything nationally, you talked about, I thought this was very interesting just a minute ago, about the networks jumping the gun or getting too excited about it. What is, if you're following along, maybe for the first time or have really gotten into this election because of what it's been, when you see 6% of the precincts reporting, 8% of the precincts, when should people start to really hone in on that of when a state's going to turn one way or another if you're playing this quote-unquote game?
Here's the analogy I use. And, Mr. Klein, as someone who has taught like I have, you will appreciate this analogy. There comes a point in a semester when you're taking a class where the grade you got is pretty much the grade you're going to get.
Right, right.
And usually that is in that we start really seeing trends about that 30-40%, but once you get to 65%, 9 out of 10 times, unless there is just some place in the state or area that just hasn't phoned in yet that has a lot of voters and uncounted precincts, usually once you cross that 60% threshold, 9 out of 10 times, the grade you got is what you'll get.
All right, Abdul, what about the gubernatorial race? Did one or the other of them blow that race?
I don't think it was necessarily blown. I think this was just one of those things where just the dynamics on the ground dictated how the governor's race was going to go. One of the things that has happened here is that John Gregg has never really broken that 42-43% threshold. Now, there was a rolling poll by the folks over at SurveyMonkey that had John Gregg ahead by 3 as of yesterday, but that's still within the margin of error.
Right.
Yeah, all the other poll data has had them tied. And in baseball, the tie goes to the runner, because if the polls are tied, Indiana's more Republicans than Democrats, and we're seeing more heavily reported Republicans in Republican areas, at least right now, coming out as opposed to Democrats, particularly up in the Lake County area, where Northern Lake County is more Democratic, Southern Lake County is more Republican. Speaking to some Democrats up there yesterday, they were worried about turnout because the Republicans were coming out like crazy. Democrats, not so much. And in a, like I said, baseball, you know, tie goes to the runner. I think that pulls Eric Holcomb over. And that could also impact the superintendent of public instructions race, too.
Right.
Like I said, depending on how well Donald Trump does here, you know, those coattails could reach down to Jennifer McCormick as well and Glenda Ritz. I think the odds favor Ritz just because she's the incumbent, the name identification, and the teachers' unions all over to death have been working like crazy. But like I said, the better Trump does, I think that's the key thing for anybody watching the results tonight. The better Trump does here in Indiana, the better Republicans, I believe, will do.
Abdul, let me ask you another question, and it has nothing to do with the national or state races.
To do with math.
There are a number of school referendums going on, and are the people in Indiana fed up with schools having to go out and raise their own money instead of the government doing this? How do you see those kinds of things playing out? By the way, Bloomington's got a referendum going, too.
Well, here's my thing on referendums. I believe that referendums are not so much about raising money, but they are more about the relationships that school districts have with their constituents. I really do. And if you're a school district and you build that, you have that relationship with your community because you're always communicating, explaining everything, transparent, I think you're fine with the referendum. I mean, because really all the referendum is saying, hey, instead of the school district raising your taxes, we want the voters' permission to raise your taxes. Now, I think we could argue from a public policy perspective, you know, who do you want making these decisions? Should it be the voters or should it be the elected officials? I can see cases for either one. But I really do think that referendums at the end of the day are about your relationships. And I want to say over the past few years, referendums have actually passed, I want to say about 55-60% on the first go-around. There have been a couple where folks had to come back and do some explaining. Then they got it passed like the second time around.
Well, we had one in 2010, and this will be our second one, and we'll see what happens. But it's
now,
an interesting
something
concept.
Something else to piggyback on that, Keith, too, and this is going to be, you know, one of those discussions that Hoosiers are going to have, you know, does Indiana have too many school districts?
Ah.
You know, particularly in areas where populations are decreasing. And do you really want to be like, for example, Delaware County, where you've got 12 school districts, but, you know, like 100,000 people? It's an uncomfortable conversation, but eventually those are going to have to see where you can find those efficiencies and savings in the, not necessarily, some of it's consolidating schools, some of it's transportation, back office, human resources functions, but that's the conversation for January.
By the way, you and I communicated on this one. The ISTEP results have been out to the schools. They've been embargoed. They're not announcing them. They'll obviously do it after the election. How come politics is playing a role in this ISTEP stuff?
Here's the thing about ISTEP, and I'll be a firm believer to my dying day that none of this would be happening had Indiana not gotten out of Common Core. Because when Indiana was in Common Core, you had your tests, it was already done, back to the Common Core standards, it was never curriculum, just standards, and all this would have been fine. But a bunch of folks got worked up over Common Core, I think it was some vast left-wing conspiracy to do something to children. And so Indiana got out of the Common Core, but they didn't think that, okay, well, what does this do for the tests? And so here's where we are with ISTEP, not to mention the glitches with all the computer companies that have come along with it. I really do think what's going to end up having to happen is Indiana's going to have to buy a test off the shelf, like the PERT test is what's being used in a lot of different places. Just buy a test, make sure it complies to the Every Child Succeeds Act, and then just take it from there. But had Indiana not got out of Common Core, none of this would have ever happened.
Let me ask you a final question on this national thing, on the election. What would have to happen for Hillary not to win?
For Hillary Clinton not to win, like I said, you got a couple things. You have to lose North Carolina, Florida. Odds are Trump is going to do well in Ohio. And Trump would have to basically pick up a blue state, like a New Mexico, Colorado, or Nevada. Something like that to deny Clinton the 270, and then it gets kicked to the House of Representatives, and then we get the fun that we haven't seen since the 1800s.
Now, did the email scandal hurt Hillary in any way in your mind?
Which one?
I think, exactly. I think it did hurt her in the sense that any momentum she had coming out of that third debate, like I said, for the 11 days that it was on the radar screen, stopped her momentum, motivated Republicans who were probably thinking Trump wasn't going to win to come out and actually vote and do something. But I really do think with respect to the email, most people, they had their minds made up. Either made a difference for you or didn't.
Does Hillary get all the women votes because she's a woman?
Nope, I don't think so, because there are females who are not big fans of Hillary Clinton. Now, I do think it is historic in the sense that, we've never had a female president before, just like Barack Obama never had an African-American president before. And I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that I would not be surprised if you look at the history of social progress in this country, particularly with voting and empowerment rights, it's always been African-Americans, women's, Latino, the LGBT community. So do not be shocked or surprised if, come 2020 or 2024, a prominent Latino, Hispanic elected official is in that mix.
So what time will this all be over tonight? When will we know who our next president is, who our governor, or who our senators are?
Well, I'll be at the bottom of a bottle of scotch, so time really won't have much of a difference. Now, I've been sick a couple of days, but my wife has yelled at me about my cigar and scotch habits. So I have to be good for the next couple of days. Like I said, depending on, look at North Carolina, look at Florida. If those go to Clinton, I don't see us really going past 10 o'clock this evening.
I hope you're right. I mean, about going not past 10 o'clock, because we got a lot of sleeping bags in the studio here.
Where's Chad? Oh, yeah. Where's Hanging Chad? Where's the Supreme Court and all this? We want to have a show. We've had such a spectacular, Abdul, for the last, 15 months or so. You don't think this election will go quietly into the good night, will you?
I would not be surprised if it's all over but the voting. Of all the shouting and gnashing of teeth and, things about Armageddon, we in this country we do things pretty civilly. I mean, if you think about it, it's only been in the 240, almost 250 years of our history, there's only been a couple of times where the presidency was in question, 1876 and 2000. That's not a bad track record.
So are you suggesting that Donald will concede to Hillary if that's what the votes show?
Well, actually, whether Mr. Trump concedes or not, it doesn't matter.
I know. Well,
that's what you're telling people.
Will he accept the results?
I think eventually in his heart he will, but Donald's built up the brand and the image that he'll, you know, make the yelling and the screaming that the system is rigged against him and it's a crooked system, but there's crooked liar Hillary, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's fine. Now we're done. Go back to doing television shows.
So that's how it's going to end tonight, with a whimper. It's going to go out with a whimper.
Sputter.
Or a sputter, yeah. That could happen as well. Well, we thank you for your time, as always, this morning. Abdul Hakeem Shabazz, our guest. He will join us again between the hours of 7 and whenever tonight. We haven't put a finish time on the program for tonight, so.
Yeah, we'll email each other. And one other thing real quick, gentlemen, I just want to ask to your audience. There's been all this concern about, you know, will the Russians, you know, hack our computer system, that sort of thing. In so many places, our voting system is so old that it would be impossible to hack it, because it's like trying to use your iPad.
How do you hack a Scantron test?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly right. And we've seen already Madison County paying some ransom fees for hackers. Oh, geez.
You mean the Atari can't be hacked?
It can be if you want to play Pitfall.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anybody who's up for Donkey Kong, I'm gay.
Let's do it. Two players, alternate shot. Uh-huh. Abdul, we appreciate your time, and we'll hear from you tonight. Thanks for making a few minutes for us this morning.
Oh, no, my pleasure, gentlemen. Take care.